All right. Tournament time is here. NBA season is booming. There's really nothing like basketball in March. Tons of tournament games with high stakes and high drama, all competing to cut down the nets as national champs. And betting opportunities are endless. So shout out to our partners at DraftKings who make a good time even better. Right now, all new customers who bet $5 will get $150 in bonus bets instantly. Want to know what you can do with that $150 in bonus bets? Stay in on the action and use your bonus bets on DraftKings. Same game parlays for a shot at even a bigger payout. So fill out your brackets and place your bets on who you think will rise to the top with DraftKings Sportsbook. Download DraftKings Sportsbook app and sign up using code LOUNGE and bet just $5 on any wager and get $150 in bonus bets instantly with promo code LOUNGE only at DraftKings Sportsbook. The crown is yours. Let me get this grill together, baby. Let's get it. Throw some burgers on here. It's March Madness. March Madness is cracking. Woo. Oh, there you go. Talking about March Madness, we're going to talk about some of the greatest March Madness runs in the history of the game. Who had the best run individually? Some of the great matchups in March Madness. Talk about my experience in the NCAA tournament, my days at Kansas, some of my favorite moments. And, oh, yeah. We coming down the stretch of this NBA season. We're going to talk about some first-round matchups that can get real interesting. Also, it's a couple teams, it's a couple matchups I want to see in the playoffs come this year. We're going to get to that in the Truth Lounge tonight. What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Truth Lounge. With March Madness around the corner, we're going to dive right into this because that was always one of my favorite times of the year. Me going to Kansas and just blase, blase, but we're going to talk about my favorite matchups in the tournament, best March Madness run. I mean, what's your thought as March Madness approaches, dog? What you think? What's some of your great runs, man, that you've been able to witness?
Individual? We're talking about individual players?
Matchups.
We're talking about teams and matchups, just memories. I know what my first memory, one of my early memories of basketball and love was watching the Phi Slamma Jamma versus Georgetown. Watching that right there. And then watching Georgetown, that transition into me just falling in love with UNLV.
Yeah.
UNLV, them UNLV squads when they went. And I think that's why it became that little "We Hate Duke" campaign, mm-hmm. right? Because that year they blew
UNLV
Duke out.
UNLV at that time to Duke was damn near like Lakers Celtics.
Right.
Right? Everybody hated Duke. Everybody hated Celtics. Everybody loved LV.
Yeah, everybody unless she was really Lakers. Tied into one, like one, unless she was tied into Duke, I feel like the people love UNLV and just cheering for them. But Duke was a great, great program, great squad, still is to this day. But those are my early memories. What about you playing in the tournament? That's the one thing that's like, I never played in the March Madness. What is your favorite memory in March Madness? Because y'all had some runs, but y'all just never got over the top.
Bro, I ain't got no favorite memories of March Madness. We got upset every year. We was number one seed, favorite to win it, or at least go to the national championship. And we just couldn't get over the hump, man. I just show you how hard it's hard to win in a tournament. You got to be good and lucky. If you got a bad day, it's over. It's over. But like, I mean, I was just like as a kid watching them UNLV, Duke, watching just so many great tournament battles, so many great players. You know, my favorite, but just like before I even get to my situation, like the people that inspired me, though, I'm going to tell you, because I didn't really watch a lot of NBA. I used to watch college tape, college games. I mean, I'm watching cats like Glenn Robinson, Big Dog Robinson, Grant Hill, Larry Johnson. I couldn't wait till they played in big matchups. And them was guys I really looked at this time of the year. One of my favorite games. I mean, my favorite rivalry was Duke UNLV. I mean, Duke, I felt UNLV. Like UNLV was America's team because they went undefeated right. That year. and lost to Duke. Was it? But didn't they go undefeated?
I believe they was undefeated.
They were undefeated, and their first loss was to Duke in the championship game.
Yeah, that's why
game.
People talk about it, because they like, man, that game was like...
heartbreaking.
No, they talk about it. It's a rumor. This ain't something I'm confirming or nothing. I'm just saying, people's like, man, that game was fixed. There's no way. You beat the team by 30 the year before.
Yeah.
And then the next year, you lose
y'all
to them.
Y'all get popped. No, that was good, though.
No, that's what I'm saying. It was, you beat them by 30, but I think they grew up. I think they matured. Bobby Hurley,
they
those guys
they
matured.
Losses.
And they came back to get it.
But some of my, you know what, some of my, but in saying all that, as far as team matchups, man, to me, the best NCAA tournament run ever by a player was probably Kemba Walker, bro. I ain't gonna never forget his run. I mean, it was some good runs out here, and I ain't gonna discredit. But we just gonna talk about the players that I saw in my own eyes, because I didn't see Lou Alcindor and Bill Walton. I didn't see, you know, all them guys play. I'm just talking about from the time I started watching NCAA basketball, Kemba Walker, Melo run, them two just stick out at the top to me, dog.
The Kemba Walker run was impressive because they had to get into the tournament. I think they had 9 losses in the Big East Conference.
And your best player, 5'11". Like, when we used to look at the guys who made their runs, like Christian Laettner, Grant, all these cats, they was big. You know, this was a big man's game kind of still. It was still a big man game or a wing player game at the time. And, but Kemba Walker run was so spectacular from the Big East tournament. We talking about from the Big East tournament all the way through March. I don't think nobody had a better run winning a conference tournament, getting MVP, and then going to the NCAA tournament, not even the favorite. And winning that. So if you can figure out a better run than that from an individual than Kemba Walker, I think he averaged like 24, 25 a game. I don't know no player in NCAA history that had a better run than him.
So what is your – let's do a list. Give me your top 5 players that you watch. Like we said, we're not going to go name players we didn't see.
It's funny that you said that. Here it is. I had it ready for you. It's funny that you said this.
All right.
My top 5 players, and I wrote these down ever in college basketball
that
to
you
me
saw.
Yeah, that I saw. Man, somebody going to be mad. But Grant Hill, Glenn Robinson,
was dominant.
Big Dog, Larry Johnson, Christian Laettner, and Kemba Walker. Them is my 5 best college players, because theirs is not that they were the best in college, but because of the fact of their run on top of them being great. You know what I'm saying? So them is like, you know, because I could easily say Shaq and say some of these other guys but Melo. But I'm just saying these dudes for me, this is it right here. What about you? Who you got? Who your top 5 greatest college players ever?
I like Larry Johnson. I just felt he was so dominant. I felt he controlled the game. Mm-hmm. But one of mine is definitely going to be Allen Iverson for me.
Just because
the way he came in, and Georgetown being an interior team, and he just made it so exciting, and he had so many great games and so many great highlight plays. He was like must-see TV. He was must-see TV. Ended up being the number 1 pick at the point guard position.
Who you say? Larry Johnson.
That's really impactful. When you think about that, he was number 1 pick at the point guard position, not in a potential draft era.
In an era where they was still
You drafting on production. You wasn't drafting on potential. Like Kyrie was the number 1 pick, but it was like people with his skill set, and everybody was like, okay, we could be projecting him to be great. But it wasn't what he was actually. He didn't have that kind of year. He only played like 11 games, if I'm not mistaken.
Ooh, yeah, that's right. Kyrie only played 11 games. It was
so it was more like projection.
He was that good. I ain't never heard of that one. Who else?
But also, I like the one and done guys too. Like, I'm not off the one and done guys because people are going to not remember how dominant Michael Beasley was during his year, putting Kansas State on his back.
This your best 5. We talking about your best 5.
Yeah, this is mine.
Players.
This
okay,
is it.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, coming as a freshman, what's the numbers on him?
I think he averaged like 27 and 12.
Yeah, him and KD.
Crazy. I remember him and KD was killing college.
So in my time, I'm going to go with, he averaged 26 and 12 as a freshman.
Yeah, as a freshman.
Nobody in the modern era.
Nobody was doing
that. Yeah, so he came in. So that's
Beasley, Iverson.
Beasley, Iverson.
Who was the other one? Larry Johnson.
Yeah.
Who the third and fourth and fifth?
Give me Carmelo.
Carmelo, that ain't bad.
Because I like his run and I like his. These guys is 1 year, so they're not gonna have
a body. You've been watching college for a long time, bro.
Yeah, these guys.
You said you watched the Five Slim and Jemma, and you ain't got Akeem Olajuwon in there.
I didn't really, my first year, they was dunking and all that, so I came into the game with them. But I really was on Georgetown because the way they played, they was pressing, they had the gear.
What year was that?
It's like 84.
All right, so you was about like 8 years old. Okay. He was about 8 years old. You remember everything. I'm surprised you didn't say Lou Alcindor. You didn't like his run?
Yeah, I got it up here. Hey, fact check me.
Oh, all right.
Georgetown was AI influential. So he brought Georgetown back. Georgetown was like.
No, I'm saying, give me your five.
So I got AI. I'm going with the young
Mello, Larry Johnson.
Yeah. And I said Mello, Larry Johnson, and Beasley.
Beasley. And who the fifth?
Ooh, you got Big Dog in there.
Man.
I'm gonna go ahead and go with Grant Hill.
Over Leitner?
Yes.
All right, that's your five. That's legit. For me, that's legit.
Leitner was cold, he made tough shots, but to me, Grant Hill, he just was a beast that year that they left.
Man, I'm telling you.
And he moved to like the point forward.
I taped a lot of his game.
He moved to the point forward that year.
Yeah.
And was like really dominant, going down middle, dunking. Like he can make every play on the basketball.
What about Twan Walker?
Twan Walker was cool. He played for a super team. Like
he did.
So he didn't get a chance.
That might be the only college super team that I can think of outside of, like, you know, I didn't see the Five Slimmer Jam. I know they had pros, but super team?
The Fab Five.
Oh, the Fab Five. All right, which brings me to this. Most influential. Damn, we got to throw them in there, the Fab Five. They probably the most influential for me.
Yeah.
It's UNLV or Fab Five as far as influence on Bliss hooping. Playing college, wanting to go to college, they style.
And that's why I say that's where you got to go back and look at Georgetown. Because Georgetown influenced all them. Because they was that first team that had the Nike deal. John Thompson had them in the Nikes.
Yeah.
And they had the style.
College ain't going to never be the same. It ain't going to never be like that again.
They was wearing the Nikes.
Like, I don't see, and I'm thinking, it ain't going to never be a team in college because of the way it is. The structure, how guys is leaving early, that you're going to see a team that's just an influential team and follow and get behind them for some years. I mean, I can't even think of no team that just like I can even say, man, they're going to be good next year. Because if somebody play well, that player going to the league.
They gone.
So I think the 90s was the best era. 80s, late 80s and 90s was probably the best era for college basketball. So that's why we got, in this era, you got a lot of Cinderella teams. And that bracket, filling out that bracket, good luck, bro. Good luck.
Good luck.
Because the favorite.
Well, you know what you got to do? It is good luck, but now you got to really do your research on these teams. Because last year showed us that. Florida, FAU, and San Diego State.
Yeah.
They in the Final Four.
Right. Right. You know,
and the styles was contrasting now. So you have to really understand these players and the transfer portal teams is old. Will we see another team like those Kentucky teams where we have five freshmen be able to play and get the team to the finals, or three or four freshmen in the lineup? Are the impact, like, who's the last impactful freshman? Is it Zion?
Zion, for sure.
That was just crazy. And they had a great run. What was their run?
they lost early. They lost probably like Sweet 16.
They got popped.
Yeah, they got popped. They almost lost the Taco Fall.
They was dominant with three freshmen, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah. Three pros.
Three pros.
But like right now, today, I can't even think of no player or no team that I'm like, Houston is nice. Kansas, you know, been up and down. But like, I think college is wide open as it's ever been.
UConn's the favorite right now.
UConn's the favorite?
In terms of betting. Houston would be the next.
See, but I'm just saying, like, I can't even tell you one player off UConn. Like, who? Like, because I guess I don't know if it's the national coverage or the
No, but that's how you win.
Do they have
that's
a high draft pick right this
now.
Year?
That's how you win right now, right? You may have, like, a player, but they're not household names. The top teams is going to have mature players that are probably not household names, but they're great ball players.
Yeah.
They understand the coach. They understand the system. like Houston. Well, Houston has been a dominant team. For them to come to the Big 12, they've been a smaller conference team.
Yeah.
Whatever conference they was in, America, whatever that was, they came to the Big 12, and they won the Big 12 over Kansas this
so
year.
So who the coach? Is that Calvin Sampson?
Calvin Sampson,
yeah. Sampson? Yeah, yeah. He was at Oklahoma. He was at Oklahoma when I was in college. Calvin Sampson. So, you know, he's been in the game a long time, been a great coach. Shout out to Calvin Sampson. But when I fill out my bracket, I always just put Kansas winning it all.
You know what?
I just pick a, I pick a few good upsets.
I'm probably never told you this. I was hurt when Kansas beat Oklahoma. Is that 88?
88 when they won it all?
Yeah, I was
hurt. With Danny Manning?
Yeah. I love Mookie Blaylock and Stacey King and Ricky Grace.
Man, come on, dog. Back, boy. You a historian.
Almanac. Yeah, we just, this ain't.
You started watching pre-search. College before me.
This wasn't pre-search. This was just.
But you're a time traveler, too. So.
But I remember that because Mookie Blaylock was one of my favorite players, like playing defense. The way he played defense and stole the ball, that's I got that from him. I saw that from him right there. I just always follow him. But I love when they beat that team with Danny Manning, I was hot. And I never wanted, like, so you. So what made you choose Kansas? Like, we from L.A., Inglewood.
Damn, you
City,
right.
You know what I'm saying?
There you go right there. You said it. You said it right there. You said it right there. What made me choose Kansas? Living in Inglewood.
Get you out the city, huh?
I need to get out of there, dog. I had to get out of there. You know, I only took, like, two visits. So, look, I go to USC. You know, Stace Bozeman, Willie McGinnis, all them there. I'm seeing with how they living. They living cool. They kicking it. There's weed smoke everywhere. They shoot dice. I'm like, man, I ain't going to SC. I need to lock in. I'm like, it's too much kicking it over here. I was like, you know, it was just too close to home. UCLA had just won a national championship. And, Coach Herrick was like, yeah, you going to start. And I'm thinking like, damn. Y'all just won the national championship with freshmen. It's how I'm going to start. So I didn't feel like he was telling me the truth. And it was just something. When I took my visit to Kansas, bro, it was just like nothing I ever seen. Think about it, like West Coast basketball, it ain't got that Midwest or that East Coast. They not love. Into it. There's just too much going on in the West Coast because you got the top player in California over here at Inglewood. Ain't nobody hardly showing up. You got the Lakers down right here. Everybody going to that game. You got UCLA. It's just too much to do. It's just too much to do. I went to Kansas and we was a pro team. Everybody showing up, sold out every night. They was chanting my name at the game. I was like, ooh, it was like, I'm going here.
So what's your best? Here. So when you was at Kansas, I got a chance to go out there and visit you. That was an amazing experience to go to the game at Missouri.
That was crazy.
I drove down with the fans and had the fan experience. Just drove down into Missouri. There was Boone Ryan Robertson the whole game.
It ain't no school in the country that's like Kansas University for basketball. I've never seen this in my life. I'm on campus. I'm thinking, like, this is my first game. Let's say leading up to my first game, I'm going to practice. It's kids out there in sleeping bags. It's kids out there with tents. And I'm like, damn, the game ain't till Friday. It's Monday. It's Monday. The game ain't till Friday. And then they got this chant. Rock Chalk Jayhawk KU, and they go crazy. I never lost a game at Kansas.
I ain't never lost.
I think we were 60-0.
Wow.
60-0.
Coming there and get popped.
Automatic win. You ain't coming in the
too
Lawrence.
Bad you couldn't host the tournament.
I don't know what happened before me or after me, but I know I left there with a 60 game win streak, or it might have been more. It was around 50, 60 games for sure.
So what was it, a game or was it a moment or was it like a certain period where you knew you was ready for the league? Because, see, you came out
that's
in the era
question.
Where
–
because
question.
Now the league – because that's what we talked about when we were talking about Iverson and Kyrie. The transition to where we are today you get drafted for your potential.
Right.
You didn't have that luxury. You had to be ready to play with grown men.
I mean,
when you step,
it was kind of like half and half.
If you were a big man.
No. Yeah. It was kind of half and half because you got to forget, in 96, KG got drafted out of high school.
If you're a big man.
Yeah, but
like
after
Kobe
that,
changed the
in
game.
In 95, KG got drafted out of high school. Kobe came in. He wasn't a big man.
No, he wasn't. He was the first
McGrady,
guard. That was crazy.
All after that. So it was half potential, half you ready. And then the influx just came in with all these high school dudes where it's like, all right, it's potential now. But you definitely had to be ready. And that's why I felt like I was ready. I felt like I was ready my sophomore year. I felt like I was ready. But I was like, man, shoot, I'm going to be one of the top players if I come back. I had a dream in my head. I was like, I always dreamed what I wanted to do, man. I was like, man, I could be the number one pick. Then I came out the junior year, I was the number 1-0 pick. So I'm like, damn.
I thought you could have been the number one pick at that time. Been the number one pick. Because it was the number one pick was Michael Olowokandi.
Nobody, I never even heard of Michael Olowokandi.
And then the number two pick was Mike Bibby.
Yep, Mike so Bibby. I heard of Mike
just
Bibby.
Based
Mike
on
Bibby
that,
didn't win a national championship.
Yeah, but just
he
based
cold.
On
he
that.
Cold.
He was definitely cold, but I just think based on that you could have been. But also, how much do you think Jacquavion graduation and also Rafe LaFrance getting hurt for a significant part of the season, it gave you different roles, right? Because you played some four, which I think the four helped you get ready for the league because now you got to be physical. And the way y'all system was at Kansas,
was
you was able to step out.
I was posting up more.
You was able to step out and still show your game. And then not having Jacquavion there, the offense, you was able to do more on with the ball or maybe offense came your way.
It helped my development once them guys, well, Rafe was still there, but Jock.
But Rafe missed a lot of games.
Yeah, he missed about 8-9 games because he broke his hand, I remember. But, I mean, I was still having a good year. But it did help me just understand, like, all right, I have to do more, you know, because a lot of people looked at me as just a scorer, but I showed I could play defense, rebound, pass, because I got more opportunity. And I thought I was going to be – I was up for National Player of the Year. You know, I knew I probably wouldn't get it because Antoine Jamison at the time was dominating at North Carolina and they was number one all year long too. But junior year, I thought for sure. I was so ready junior year, Coach Williams was like, hey, you're not coming back pretty much. He pulled me and was like, you're not coming back. And I was the first player in the Roy Williams era to ever leave early under him. I think I was. Yeah, I'm pretty sure I was. Everybody usually stayed the senior year because Jock stayed the senior year. Yeah. Rafe LaFrance stayed the senior year. They could have left junior year. He was like, nah, there's no need to come back. And so, you know, that was the cold college experience. But we got upset every year. We lost 1 year to Arizona, Mike Bibby. We lost 1 year to Syracuse in the Sweet 16.
That's the one I remember.
Man.
That's the Billy Thomas dropped the ball.
Man. And then we lost second round to Cuttino Mobley and Tyson. And little Tyson, what was his name?
Wheeler.
Tyson Wheeler.
Them lefties.
The lefties. It was unorthodox shooting threes. And so that was my college career. But March Madness is always exciting, man. I'm excited for it this year. I'm going to get my bracket. Hopefully Kansas go for a deep tournament run because I was at the championship game a couple years ago in New Orleans where they won, you know, and it's nothing like the tournament. So good luck to all the teams this year. And I'm always excited for this time of the year.
You named your guys. Now, your college players that you named? You named your top college players.
Yeah.
So which one of those guys, if any, were you trying to emulate the most when you was in high school to say, I want to play like this guy? Because
it was a lot of them, though. It was a lot of them. It was about five of them. I'm going to tell you five of them. Started with Steve Smith, Michigan State. Jimmy Jackson, Ohio State.
Jimmy Jackson. Jimmy
Glenn
Jackson.
Robinson. Glenn Big Dog Robinson, Purdue. Grant Hill at Duke. Them was the dudes I watched closely. I taped all their games. I'm like, man, because they was like the small forwards. You know, as I got older, they was a small forward. So Jimmy had the pull-up game. He was handled. You know, Grant Hill was the point forward. Because my senior year, I became the point forward.
Right.
And so I watched Steve Smith, point forward. You know, so I'm watching all of them, and I'm emulating the things that they're doing. You know, handling the ball, distributing, having the all. Them was the guys I consider had all-around game.
Big dog.
And I just tried to emulate the post-up, jumper, inside, outside. And so them four players right there was the guys I most tried to emulate. And I was just like, man, shoot. They got it. They had it. And all the players was all Americans. All of them was top dogs at their school. So them is the dudes I always tried to emulate. You know, I like one more in there. But that was pretty much it. Big Dog, Grant Hill, Jimmy Jackson, Ohio State. And who's left? Yeah, big dog Steve Smith, Michigan State. So them is the guys I was really trying to. It worked. I looked at the right guys. And so, well, shout out to them cats, man. Y'all is an inspiration for me. I appreciate y'all. But in saying that, moving forward, we are winding down the NBA year, and it's about to get interesting out here, bro. I'm looking at the matchups. I'm looking at the, especially, I got my eye on the West. Close eye on the West, because it could be some real intriguing matchups. Now, out of all the matchups, who would you be most, like, interested to see, like, in a matchup, whether it be an individual player versus individual player or team versus team, especially in that first round? Because I'm looking at it. It's getting thick. It's getting thick. You got.
Well, for me, this is now we're starting in the West this year. We're going to start to appreciate more and more the play-in. The play-in is going to be crazy because you can have a scenario where you got Luka,
okay,
LeBron, KD. Yep. I'm just saying potentially.
Right
and
now,
Steph.
Right now.
All in a play-in.
This is the matchup. This is the matchup. If everything started, you got the potential of Golden State playing Lakers for play-in. If Dallas keep tricking off, it could be Golden State, Dallas, Luka. I mean, these matchups at the bottom is
that's
more intriguing
saying,
than
the
these matchups at
because,
the top.
You know, the play-in is critical
because
you in that 9-10 spot, it's one game elimination.
Yeah.
It's like a tournament game. It's one game for it all. And this is where a guy like Steph, a Steph versus LeBron matchup is critical.
But that's one game.
Yeah,
but I'm saying in a playoff series, you know who I want to see
in the first round? For.
I want to see this matchup with Clippers versus Phoenix. I want to see that. If something happened to where Phoenix can somehow move up to five and have a matchup with Kawhi and KD, because that matchup was about to happen until, let's see, I think Kevin Durant got hurt.
Yeah, I think that's
that
that's a great matchup in the first round.
I want to see that, but in the East.
Kawhi got hurt.
Yeah, that's right. Kawhi got hurt and missed. And so we never got a chance to really see that matchup. But in the East, I want to see Miami-Boston first round. I ain't going to even lie. I want to get them up out of here fast. Let's get them up out of here. I don't want to hear nothing from them.
That's tough.
Man, let's get them up out of here. I want to see that. I want to see that in the first round.
First round.
We ain't ducking nothing. It's hard to win.
Drop game two.
We ain't ducking nothing. It's hard to win, and we ain't ducking nothing.
Let's get our rhythm first, baby.
Give us the hardest road possible. So
let's get a rhythm
first. Miami
first,
all right. And then whoever after that.
Be careful what you ask for.
We'll take Cleveland in the second round. Then we'll see Milwaukee.
Yeah, that's not a bad route.
We want that route.
Ooh, that Miami first round matchup is.
We want that. Okay. We want, let's get them out of here early because we don't want Jimmy to start getting hot. You know, as the further he go, the better he get. We want to get them up out of here fast before he get hot.
Further he go.
Yeah, that's what it seemed like with Buddy, man. He get his rhythm, and you never know having Miami, but that's the two matchups I want to see in the first round, I think.
The first round?
Yep. Who you are?
I'm going to give you one that's intriguing to me. It's probably not a popular one. But I want to see the Clippers in New Orleans in that first round, that four. The way they slotted right now, I think they're 4 or 5.
Yeah, that's the 4 or 5. Who it is right now.
I feel like that's just a tricky matchup for the Clippers.
That's a tricky matchup for them?
Yeah, because they're the favorite. People are talking about the Clippers winning the championship. Then you come out here and you got a matchup where you got to deal with Zion and Ingram in the first round. And then CJ McCollum can win you a game or two. If he's healthy. If he comes in healthy, he can win you a game or two.
How confident are you at OKC getting out the first round? Because they're going to either have to see Dallas, Lakers, Golden State, possibly Sacramento, could be Phoenix. You never know. They can slide. All this is all predicated
OKC,
on the play.
OKC is carrying. They got the MVP this year.
You think they got the MVP?
Yeah, I think they got.
Damn.
He's ascended. Like, to me, Jokic is still the best player by this much. This guy just did a great job I'm about to call it
USA. So you're saying it's a lock? You think it's a lock for him right now?
I don't think it's a lock. I just think that it's close to being a lock.
If they finish one.
Or two.
Nobody saw.
Now, Denver finishes one.
What was the preseason? This is what I want to know. What was their What were they projected in the preseason? Do you know? What was they projected?
The Thunder. The Thunder were projected, over-under was around 44 wins.
44 wins.
They got that now.
They got that.
Edge of playing playoff.
They had them edge of playing, and then if they win the West.
He's the MVP.
Yeah, that's tough.
But I'm looking at his consistency, that's too, from tough. The guard spot. He's the number one on the scouting report every single night, and he comes in. He's like,
but they got depth. They got a lot of good players that fly under the radar.
But he's consistent. He scored 31 points, 40-something nights.
So you think Jason Tatum don't got a shot now?
No, I think he's in the mix. I think this year is the year that
– I mean, I think it was, kind of like a big blow them losing to Denver.
On national,
and they lost.
I just think it's hard to make him the MVP this year when Jaylen Brown is on your team and he's playing well. He's playing well.
Right,
he's
now,
not playing bad.
He playing like a top five player in the league.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
I mean,
so
like
you have,
just when you look at it, what he's been doing.
So
over
you
the
have
last
stretches
weeks,
throughout the season, yeah, where he's looking like a top five player. So I think that kind of minimizes Tatum. Where who's the guy that's looking like an all-star caliber player for a 10-game stretch for OKC? You know,
damn.
I look at Jokic, he's the best player, but damn, I say like Murray is there. So I think it's close, but I just, for this year, for me.
What about Luka Doncic not in there?
Luka's cold. But I just, no.
He's not in there?
I don't have him as the most valuable.
Seven straight triple doubles
no,
with 30?
No, I don't have him as the most valuable because I think that his team.
If you take Luka off Dallas, they not even a playoff team, period.
No, Luka's.
They're not a playoff team.
Luka's a top player in this league. Where he ranks, I don't know. But I think his defensive. I think his defensive inefficiency, it doesn't have him right now. Is an MVP because
man, they might not even make the playoffs. That's a chance they don't make the playoffs.
No, that's a chance they make the playoffs. They play Steph Curry in the first round.
Yeah, that's a chance they don't make the playoffs. All right, so you got Shea. Joker can still win it. Tatum in there. That's it
three.
Right there.
That's the three. And I got Luka.
What do
on the
Jason
outside
Tatum got to do to win MVP? Right now, the rest of the season.
It's not what he got to do. Jaylen
no,
Brown.
What do he got to do?
Jaylen Brown got to turn an ankle or something.
What do.
You got another guy in the lineup, you just said, playing top five basketball.
Yeah, yeah.
So there, it's out of his hands. Because even if he scored 40, this guy's getting 30 the next night.
Yeah, yeah.
So you don't have another guy. That's what I'm saying about Shai Gilgeous. He's getting 30 every single night. He's getting ready. I think, if I'm not mistaken, he tied the record. So he tied KD for most 30-point games, and it's still 17 games to go. So he's going to break that record. Think about that.
So
that's
it's his
KD.
To lose. Right now, it's his
that's
to lose.
That's KD, bro.
Right now, it's Shai Gilgeous.
Yeah, he's too consistent.
It's his MVP to lose
it's
right
his
now.
His MVP to lose.
What do Joker got to do to win MVP?
I mean, Joker is just Joker. I don't think Joker's going to play his game. I don't think Joker can. Joker is still can win it because the people might not see it how I see it.
Mm-hmm.
The voting people may not see it how I see it.
I think it's close. I think it's going to be
for
close.
For me, I just can't see. He's been too consistent. He's just getting his numbers. He's shooting 50-something% every night.
Do Joker win MVP? Or you still got Shai?
I wouldn't be mad. For me, I got Shai because of.
You'll be mad if Tatum win?
I'd be mad if Tatum win. Yeah.
Man, come on, man. Yeah. Come on, dog.
I'd be mad.
Give it
to Luka, bro.
What's the criteria? The best record on the best team.
No, you got another guy that can carry you
I'll
through
the
course of the
season.
I'll
be the best player on the best team.
What I like about Joker is that Jamal Murray went down for a lot of games, and he's kept that ship afloat. So I give him that same type of deal that I'm giving.
All right.
Shai, that's what I
so
said.
So you taking JT out because of the team.
Yeah, you could have an off night and this guy can carry you. If uh-huh. It's rare for five games. So one night maybe you got a team that can carry you. If Shai missed five games, who's doing
they can
that?
They still win.
No, not five. They're going to go 1-4.
No, they're not. No, they
yes,
not.
They are.
Nah, they good.
Without him, without that 30, without
him,
that 31 point
win.
Guy.
They can still win without him.
Who scored 31 points, 40 something.
They got
games.
Some cats on there that can hoop. They not in
they're
first,
not
Jay, they
win
not in first place
him.
Because of one dude.
No, but he is a consistent. They can be inconsistent. He can't. When you got Jaylen Brown, nobody else gets. What's their second leading scorer getting? It's hit and miss. One week, Shed is doing good. Williams had great games this year. He's had 30-point games. But I'm saying they have contributed. That's why they are a top team, like you said.
Right.
But if this guy is showing up every single night with 30, every night, back-to-back. He scored 30. He's about to break Kevin Durant's
Yeah, he cold.
Most 30-point games in OKC history.
Man, I get what you're saying. He got the strongest argument. He got the strongest argument for MVP. Him and – yeah, I get it.
Second best odds according to DraftKings, plus 265.
Second
– yeah. He don't have enough – that's why I said I wouldn't be mad if Jokic get it because Shea doesn't have enough primetime games this year. Nobody – he wasn't projected to do this. So he doesn't have any primetime – how many times has he played – has he played on ABC at all, Willie? So he's not playing.
It's hard to say what his signature games was because, I mean, he's getting 30 every night.
He's had a lot of games where he's closed games out, like in the fourth quarter.
Versus Denver, 7 points. Saying though, this is who you, this is, you know, you look at matchups, you know, just like everybody said, oh, it's going to be tough for JT to get MVP after losing to Denver and he didn't play that good and Joker did this. What about when Shea played Denver? 7 points.
Early in the season.
He ain't never scored under double figures all year.
Who?
Except for that game.
Joker?
Shea.
Yeah.
7 points. Versus who your competition
and what
is.
Happened? What happened that game?
What happened what game?
What happened? What was the results?
I don't remember.
Denver won by 33.
Exactly. He's the MVP. God, that's my point. When he plays bad, they lose.
Denver.
Yes, that's my that's my argument. There you go. Thank you. You back me up.
That was a backup.
Because you said he scored 7. They got blown out. There's no support for him consistently. He cannot miss a week of work.
Man, some news that just came out. We ain't talk about it, but they said Lonzo Ball is he got on-court activity. Okay, they saying he can come back. A lot of people were saying he wasn't gonna play again. What you think of that?
Oh man, you know what? As an athlete, you always pull up an athlete.
He a Cali dude too.
Yeah, we love him, man. I watched him play. Yeah. The first time we watched him play, anybody seen him play any footage of him, the earliest footage of him playing high school basketball, besides his mom and pop's home film that they might have, is on YouTube of him playing in the Paul Pierce Fall League. Our boy D'Anthony started that at Inglewood High, the Paul Pierce Fall League, and that's the first time I saw him play. And this is my first experience watching him play, right?
At Inglewood.
At Inglewood High. It was a Paul Pierce Fall League, named after you. They were playing a game. The guy hits a three. They were playing, I want to say, Londé or somebody. The guy hits a three on the other team with like 2 seconds left. He takes it out, throws the ball in for the court. They lose. The other team loses.
And
the other team hit a three. It's 2 seconds left. They would celebrate a little bit.
He threw it in the lane. They got a layup.
He took it out, threw it in the length of the court. I knew he was amazing. Because, look, the team
But I'm
knew,
saying, you think, how you think, I mean, what you think of him coming back and what do you see, you know, from him moving forward? Or, I mean, we ain't seen him in about 2 years.
It's hard to tell, you know, because he plays the game. They've changed the way they play without him. And so I don't know if he fits there.
With Kobe White emerging right now?
Yeah, because they play right a now. Penetrating scoring.
I think for dude, if he come back,
but he's under
he can
contract.
Regain, you know, just, you know, some of the stuff he had. Because before he got hurt, before he went out, he was starting, I think he was starting to come into his own. I think he need to get out of Chicago. I don't think... You know, with the emergence of Kobe White.
Is he a starting point guard?
I don't know. We got to see. You know, he's going to have a whole summer to get his strength back. He started on-court activities, so he's going to have about like 6-7 months to get ready for next year. I just hope he come back in full strength so we can see him because I think he got an awesome story, him and his brother.
For sure.
Dealing with injuries. And so, you know, I
want to see that whole Lonzo
come
get
back strong.
Baller, Brian.
Huh? He's only 26, right?
Yeah, he got it. The thing that I'm most concerned about, if I have any concerns, is not his offense. It's him coming back. He was developing a reputation as defense being his strength and his IQ of the game.
Yeah.
Usually when you like this, can you come back and be that stellar of a defender at that position, at the most one of the most dangerous positions now,
mm-hmm.
where they just coming at you? It's a free-flowing attack. It's not guys running offense at that position like he is. It's not a lot of players that are similar to him. Most of these guys are coming at you. De'Aaron Fox, these guys are coming to score. You know, even Austin Reeves and De'Aaron, like team after team, Curry running around. Every team, these guys are coming to Shea. These guys are coming to score. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So just want to see if he can come back with that athleticism and that defensive ability. That'll be great for him.
You know, we talking about stars matching up. I said KD and Kawhi, I want to see that matchup. Is there any matchup like star, individual stars you want to see match up in the playoffs? Like, I don't really see no matchup in the East.
I'm excited to see Shea in the playoffs.
But who, like, matched up? Like, what you like? All right.
You mean mano y mano?
Yeah, yeah. Like, you see, like, if KD match up with Kawhi,
that's a matchup.
I'm watching that series first.
Yeah, KD and Kawhi. You know,
they got to play a 7-game series because they got to guard each other.
I don't know if we're going to see that this year.
So, I'm trying to think, what about, like, Dallas? What about Luka and Shea? That could be a matchup.
They're not going to guard each other.
They're not guarding each other.
No, they're not going to guard each other.
Curry and Shea.
I don't think they're going to guard. You can't guard Shea with Curry. That's a nightmare.
Damn, it ain't no match. What about?
He's that good. He's your MVP.
Oh, we could possibly see
I want to see him in the playoffs versus Denver. I believe that they have the best chance to beat Denver because they have the athletes, the speed. Mm-hmm. Who's going to guard Jokic? Nobody. Nobody can guard him. Yeah. But what I'm saying is they have the type of athletes to play the style. Because now with Minnesota, they're going to be down with no Karl Anthony Towns. I can't believe them coming confidently into these matchups. They're going to have.
I wouldn't mind seeing Drew and Dame, actually. That's going to happen, too.
That's the one.
Drew and Dame got a matchup. They're going to see each other in the conference finals.
Yeah, that's you was over there. You in my home.
Yeah, that's going to be.
Can you win without me?
Is there anybody in the West that can beat Denver? Or can give them
that's what I just said.
You said okay.
Yeah,
so
that's what I'm saying. That's why I want to see that matchup. Because
that's the only team
that can beat them.
Yeah,
because I think they got the guy that can get you fourth quarter scoring.
They did beat them twice during the regular season.
That he can get you fourth quarter scoring. To beat Denver, you have to outscore them in the fourth quarter.
So
they got
Minnesota,
guys that can score.
They dealing with Karl Anthony Towns. He's got a meniscus injury. He's dealing with. They say he's going to be out at least 4 weeks. So I'm thinking I'm writing off Minnesota. I think they're going to slide. I just don't see him coming back and regaining that strength and just that quick turnaround when everything's heating up. So when I look at it, Minnesota's not going to be a team
I feel sorry for them.
Going to be concerned about. They had a great year. Anthony Edwards having a great year. And the part of it is like you got to be good, but you got to be lucky. And that's the one part, you know, that's unfortunate. And now what about like Clippers? You don't think Clippers got a shot at Denver? I mean, if I had to look, I think maybe the only one team, I think Clippers the only one that got the depth.
The Clippers, the problem they have with Denver is that they want to go small ball in the second and fourth quarters,
but
right?
They got bigs that can match up with him too.
No, but that's not how they want to play in the second and fourth quarters.
Yeah, they do. They'll keep Plumlee and Zubac out there.
Nah, they want to go small. They want to go Powell.
That's the only thing.
They want to go. They want to go Norman Powell. They want to go with that lineup because they had Kawhi guarding Joker.
I think you don't even have. I think the thing about Denver, don't focus on stopping Joker. Like, you're not stopping him. Focus on stopping everybody else. Don't let Jamal go up for 20, 30.
But that's the problem. You can't do that.
Don't let Aaron Gordon give you that 18.
You can't do that. That's why Joker's so good. Because how you going to focus on stopping them and he has the ball?
I'm telling you, you got to make Joker. You got to make Joker a scorer. Make him a scorer.
Let him go ahead and shoot 80%, 90%.
That's fine. We can live with that. But when he's dropping dimes off over here, Gordon, Murray, Michael Porter Jr.
He's going to do that too. That's the thing.
Because when these other dudes don't play well, you got a shot. You got a better shot to beat them. But when I look up and his numbers is 36, 15, and 15, you ain't got no shot.
Well, he got 36. I mean, you didn't really.
Man, go ahead and get 40 now.
With
five assists. We'll give you an extra. Here, go get. Just take away five of those assists. He going to rebound. He can score, but don't let him pick you apart. I think that's got to be the blueprint. Let him post up. If he going to be at the high post, man, look, get up on your man. We switch everything. Don't give him no back doors. Don't give him no flares. Make him go one-on-one.
Play him one-on-one.
Let him go one-on-one. Don't help.
Yeah, we'll see. I'm sure that's not the first time somebody tried that.
Because every other thing,
it's hard to stick to that.
You get the digging. You get in the paint. You get the trapping.
You look inside your man.
You look inside. Just, man, face. Face guard your man and let him go. If he get 40, 50, and he don't get those 10, 11, 12 assists, I think you got a shot. Don't let Jamal Murray get off. Don't let Michael Porter get off. Don't let Aaron Gordon get off. Like the most important piece is Murray, because Murray can beat you. But if you let Michael, if you say Joker, get 50.
If you give him all that space, he's going to eat you alive.
It's not space. We just going to let him. We just going to one-on-one. No help.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. That's all that no space help. Where he can wiggle. That's he's it. Too crafty.
You know? We'll see. But that's the blueprint, I think.
What are you shooting, 60% from the field?
Nobody has tried that, I don't think. But I think that's the blueprint in beating Denver. If you're going to beat him in the 7-game series, you got to make him a scorer.
Well, there is no blueprint.
I think nobody just said go out and get 40 and 50 every night. He's getting 40 and 50 with a 12.
Yeah, 12, I would like to see that, because I don't think he really just wants to just be a 50-point scorer.
That's what I'm saying.
So he just says, I'll just get 30.
He can, but I'd rather him do that. Now them other guys, they not getting the touches. They not getting the shots.
The feel for the game.
Getting the feel and getting the rhythm. Like, keep them out of rhythm.
Keep them out of rhythm.
Yeah, that's the way you got to go. Hey, man, well, there you have it. Thanks for joining another edition of the Truth Lounge. Make sure y'all drop in the comments, who do y'all think is going to win the NCAA tournament? My pick is Kansas. Rock Chalk Jayhawk. KU. Also, shout out to DraftKings, All the Smoke Productions. And I'll see you, baby. It's March Madness. Let's get it.
Everyone is talking about magnesium. It's all you hear about. But why? What do we know about magnesium? Well, magnesium is the number one mineral that 75% of Americans are deficient in. If you are a woman over 35, magnesium will help you rediscover balance, energy, and vitality. Magnesium supports more than 300 enzymatic reactions in your body, including those involved in hormonal balance. From functional medicine doctors to mental well-being and female hormone experts, we all know that magnesium is the one mineral to improve all aspects of well-being and health. But which one? Magnesium Breakthrough from Bioptimizers, the trusted choice recommended by leading experts, with 7 best-absorbed forms of magnesium to ensure your body receives the support it needs for overall well-being. Go to bioptimizers.com/balance today and use code BALANCE10 for 10% off. Support your journey to wellness at bioptimizers.com/balance. Magnesium Breakthrough from Bioptimizers, your foundation to optimal health and vitality.